From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In his book, The Anatomy of Hope, Dr. Jerome Groopman observes that medical school left him well prepared for the science and pitifully unprepared for the soul. The Anatomy of Hope is subtitled How People Prevail in the Face of Illness. Dr. Groopman teaches at Harvard Medical School and writes for the New Yorker magazine. His book is about people with cancer, people facing a great likelihood of imminent death, what they summon in the fight against that illness or what they do not, and what their doctors might do to help them. Jerry Groopman, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Let me ask you first, the phrase, the anatomy of hope, suggests that there might be something that we could study, something with structure, something with science behind it that we call hope. Is there?
There is. I was very skeptical about this because hope is often portrayed as a magic wand that if you just think positively and be hopeful, then all of your medical problems will evaporate, disappear. And hope is also often confused with optimism, where you sort of see the world through rose-colored glasses and everything just will turn out fine, which of course we know is not the case. But hope is clear-eyed. Hope sees everything in front of it. And through all the troubles, all the problems, it sees a true path to a better future. And that vision in the mind's eye has profound effects on the chemistry of the brain and the workings of the body.
What, first of all, do you do as a physician when you encounter a patient who might need some of that hope to survive and that body chemistry, and yet you're obliged in some way to put it to him or her, would you have most people who have this die within 6 months, let's say?
Well, I've learned through painful error not to give those kinds of time frames or death sentences. I think it's critical that you be honest with someone, that you show the worst-case scenario. But I've learned that there is an inherent uncertainty in all of human biology and in all of medicine, and that there's a bell-shaped curve, and that sometimes, even in the most dire circumstances, there's a chance to be cured. I write about a colleague who was the world's expert in stomach cancer, and I essentially dismissed him, said, you know, he was going to die, there was no reason to try to fight. And he did fight, and he was treated. And if he had been my patient, he would have died, and instead he was cured.
You write that this patient, whom you call George, what he was getting, the kind of therapy he was getting for his cancer, nearly every other physician in the hospital thought was just completely the wrong way to go and encouraging some illusory hope on his part.
It was completely perplexing. He was the world's expert in stomach cancer. No one knew more about stomach cancer than George. And at first I thought, well, maybe he's in denial. He's not admitting the truth to himself. But in fact, he planted bulbs in the autumn, expecting that they would be blossoming in the spring and would adorn his casket at his funeral. So he had no illusions. And yet he insisted on being treated. And only years later did I summon the courage to meet with him and interview him for the purpose of the book and ask him, you know, why did you do this?
And
he said to me that despite the long odds, he felt he had to resist. He had to try. He wanted to live so much that he simply could not surrender without a fight. And he proved to be extraordinarily fortunate.
Is the medical curriculum changing sufficiently to instruct young doctors, whether in medical school or when they then become residents, to address the issue of, say, hope? How do you encourage, or at least not discourage, hope in patients with very serious diseases?
I don't think it's been integrated yet into the curriculum, and I feel very strongly it needs to be. When a patient comes to a doctor, he or she is looking for hope. And the focus is still so heavily directed to the science, to cloning genes and MRI scans and so on. But we're not teaching the words and the phrases that can communicate true hope to a patient.
What are those words and phrases?
Well, I've learned over the years, first to sit down with someone and to be truthful and to say, this is what we're facing. In order for us to find that path to prevail over illness, we need to know honestly what stands in our way. And then you get close to the person. You learn about the person's beliefs and needs and the sources of hope that that person can draw upon. And you carve a path through all those difficulties and say, this is how we can proceed together.
I mean, one point of language there is, you're the doctor, the patient is with you, and you're talking about us, about, you know, we. This is what we're going to do right now. This is what we're facing.
Because I've learned the hard way, like in the Dan Conrad story in the book, that unless I really partner with someone and I know who that person is, I can fall so far short of finding hope with him. This was a Vietnam vet, and I was using all these dramatic bravado military metaphors. We're going to blast the cancer, and we're in the trenches together, and so on. And it turned out that he couldn't find hope. And he had a lymphoma, which was eminently curable. And it turned out that his point of reference was an army buddy who had died of a cancer, not the kind of cancer he had. But what was fixed in his mind was the vision of despair, of failure. And I was unable to convince him that there was hope because I didn't know him well enough and I hadn't truly partnered with him.
There's a wonderful moment in his story when he goes for chemotherapy. And is it the chemotherapy nurse who makes a point of seating him next to another patient? And this patient becomes very important to him.
It was so insightful and so brilliant. You know, the nurses are truly the unsung heroes of the clinical realm. I brought him into the chemotherapy clinic, which is a very jarring first experience for someone. And the nurse made sure to sit him next to a patient who had a similar cancer, a lymphoma, who had a similar treatment, and who was in the process of being cured. So she had the wisdom to know that by showing him in the flesh someone who was almost there, that was worth more words and more prescriptions than I could ever provide. And what the nurse did was to give him a new point of reference, one in the present that allowed him to see the future.
Jerome Groopman, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Jerome Groopman, the author of The Anatomy of Hope, How People Prevail in the Face of Illness, spoke to us from Boston.